Thanks, Nathan. This is Merlin Morning on 88.1. I'm Sheila Cast. Distance learning is arguably the wave of the future in college education. A growing number of students is choosing courses or entire degree programs that don't require them to show up in class to listen to lectures and take tests, but to learn course material and interact with their professors online. More than a third of all Maryland undergraduates were enrolled in at least one online course, and that was in 2011. As the market shakes out, some Maryland colleges new to offering online courses are learning how to do it. And an institution which for decades dominated distance learning globally, University of Maryland University College, is scrambling to hold on to students who now have many other options for distance learning. This morning we're going to hear from people on both sides of this development. In a few minutes we'll speak with the president of UMUC, Javier Mijares. But first, we wanted to get an introduction to distance learning. So yesterday, we reached out to Dr. Susan Biro, director of distance learning at Carroll Community College and past president of the Maryland Distance Learning Association. Distance learning may be the future. It also has quite a past.
The idea of being able to have people complete education at a physical distance, even with a time lag, has been around for a long time, hundreds of years. Distance education really came about to serve the needs of everyone who did not fit the traditional age student who came to campus and lived on campus. And in the 80s and the 90s, you started to see the web and some of these different technologies really, really, I believe, accelerated not only the type of content, but the delivery and the possibilities.
Dr. Susan Biro, Director of Distance Learning at Carroll Community College, with us now to talk about the expanding possibilities for University of Maryland University College's future is its president, Javier Mijares. Thanks for coming to WIPR.
No, thank you, Sheila, for inviting me.
So the news is that UMUC has announced it's considering ideas to restructure operations. Before we talk about what you may do, why are you making changes?
If you don't mind, let's talk a little bit about our history so we can understand our present. We started in 1947, and from the very beginning, we are about one of the few institutions that from the beginning, our sole mission was to educate working adults. 1947. From the beginning, we never had a physical campus. And we were founded to serve the returning veterans. We grew overseas. We went to serve the military. We were the only institution willing to do that. And we grew and developed online and became the largest online university, as you pointed out. In the mid-90s, when we went with online, we were about the only institution doing that. But then in the last 15 years, as was pointed out before, many other institutions went into that space. Some of them the for-profit institutions, but now we see some of the large public institutions like Penn State, the University of Florida just came out with University of Florida Online, moving into the working adult space. So the competition for us has increased tremendously.
And your enrollment has gone down
and
in the last couple of years.
As a result of that competition, and because half of our students are military, because of the impact of the federal budget, Our enrollments have declined over the last 2 years.
Well, UMUC was early, as you said, going back to 1947, it was early to structure its offerings according to what employers said they needed in workers, particularly the U.S. military. Yeah. It was early to use the Internet to offer courses online. And then it seemed to sort of just stop competing effectively. Why was that? That was sort of like, I guess, in the 90s.
I think it's a very natural reaction for many organizations. They are very successful, and they think they will be successful forever doing the same thing. So you sort of rest on your laurels. And when you are the largest player in the online space, there was an assumption that you would always be, no matter what. So it was complacency, as a matter of fact, that there was a complacency that will always be the largest provider.
And now you're looking at making UMUC a not-for-profit business entity. What does that mean?
Basically, it means the options that we have to go back to growth, and growth is very important to us. Volume, in online volume, allows you to provide high quality at low cost. That's the model. High quality, low cost, you need volume. When we start declining, we have to do something about it. We realize that Maryland is a small state. Our footprint is Maryland and the military. Maryland is a small state. The military is shrinking. So we look into the future and we realize we have to expand our footprint nationally. It is very difficult to do so as a state agency.
Why?
State agencies, by nature and rightly, are more regulated because they have a lot of taxpayer money, and they are more geared to simply do one very specific thing in the state. In our case, we get very little state support, and being regulated like if we are a state entity actually would impede us in moving into the national market beyond Maryland, and not just the national market, but the international market. Is the flexibilities needed? Something as simple as getting procurement, a marketing contract. It takes us about a year to get a marketing contract. You cannot wait 1 year. And that's just an example of having to be more flexible, more agile, that you can actually be by just being a state unit.
On WIPR, this is Maryland Morning. I'm Sheila Cass speaking with Javier Millares, president of the University of Maryland University College. We're talking about restructuring ideas that UMUC is considering. UMUC is also talking about an emphasis on competency-based education, as I understand it, looking at what students can prove they know rather than what classes they've taken. Briefly, how would that work?
This is the exciting part, because now we're talking about really how we serve best our students. Let's assume that you have been working as an accountant, a bookkeeper in an accounting firm. You have learned a lot about the field, but you have not taken courses. So we can ask you, look, if you show us that you really have mastered some basic principles of accounting, why do you have to take a course that is going to teach what you already know? That's one part of competency-based education. Another part of competency-based education is when you have courses that are very clearly, with very clearly defined learning outcomes, if I can give you the resources, the content that you can study in your own, that you can conduct your work, you can do your work, academic work, at your own pace, at your own time, why should I bring you into the strict setting of a course that you have to attend, and perhaps for you it's better to do it in your own with a mentoring from a faculty. So then you can study it at your own pace, at your own time. For some students, that will be shorter. For some students, it may take longer. So basically, competency-based education, at the end of the day, it means what matters is what you have learned, not how or when you learned it.
And are you confident that you can actually test well enough to know what a student knows?
I am confident that we can assess what students know. It is not generally, would not be done via tests. It will be done by projects.
Okay.
For instance, you're taking a business class. The project may be build a business plan for a new.
We have just a minute left, and I want to make sure I ask you this idea of restructuring.
Yeah.
Where does it stand? What happens next?
At this point, the idea is out for the UMUC community to provide feedback. This was the recommendation of a group of external business leaders. That recommendation came to me. They appointed them. Now the whole university community is commenting on it. At the end, in the next 2 months, I will have a recommendation to the regents and the chancellor. They will decide if they accept my recommendation. And then if the recommendation is what was recommended by the group, meaning a nonprofit, it will have to go to the General Assembly for action.
And so you would be a not-for-profit?
Basically a not-for-profit with the same mission, public mission we have today.
And still part of the university system.
And it's still linked to the university system. It's a totally different setup. And there is, as of today, I don't know of any university that has that mixed, that is mixed that way.
I appreciate you explaining it to us. Thank you.
Thank you so much. It was my pleasure to be here.
Javier Meares is president of University of Maryland University College. We've got more information about UMUC on our website, wypr.org/Maryland Morning. I'm Sheila Cast, ahead, figuring out what would make Baltimore City boom. Stay with us on 88.1.